I've been living now for 150 years. I'm just seeing if you're awake. But it's almost 80 years, 78 years now. And I have never in my life witnessed the hot tempers, the anger, the hatred, the cultural and societal division that we have in this country today. We're being torn apart. And the name calling, the utter inability to love, tolerate, it's gone. There's a phrase in the book of Ephesians that Jesus Christ has made peace through the blood of his cross. Wow. When you throw God out, there is no possibility of unity in the human race. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. And that's exactly what we have done. And there is an unceasing effort worldwide to exclude the God of the Bible from everything. Jesus Christ has made peace through the blood of his cross. He's destroyed hatred and sin and death. And those who have his life have a life of unity. It is absolutely amazing. I hear more about racism today than I have in all of the years I've lived. You're not going to cure that until you get Jesus Christ as Lord in every life. That's the way you cure that. Because all of us, number one, and we need to remember this, all of us, number one, have a common life in Adam. It doesn't matter what our physical features are. Flowing in our veins genetically and biologically is life that came from Adam without exception. Nobody else here came from anybody else other than Adam. Adam and Eve. She was the mother of all living. And the whole human race is torn apart because they haven't accepted the second Adam. The first Adam brought us into sin and division and disharmony and disunity. The second Adam brings us into love and joy and peace. And when all of us embrace the same Savior and we embrace the same divine purpose for our lives and we're all going in the same direction and worshiping the same God, life is a unity for God's people all over the place. Yes or no? That is how it is done. If you are not a Christian, you need to trust Christ today. You cannot have unity of heart. You can have social unity. You can have profess cultural unity. That means nothing without loving, without genuine self-sacrificial love toward everyone in your world. There is no unity, period. It does not exist. I was thinking, and years ago I brought a devotional at the Lord's Supper, but different emphasis than this. Thinking about the guys gathered around the Lord's table. And I just did a little review in the scriptures. You had four of these guys were, let's see, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. What were they? Tell me what they were. Background. They're fishermen. Okay, fishermen. They were uneducated in Jewish law as the Pharisees and the Sadducees were and the scribes were. But at the synagogues, they knew about God and they knew some of the law. But they weren't scholars. They were fishermen. Fishermen are not known for scholarship. By the way, Peter's Greek is some of the hardest to read. Although it's inspired and it gives us God's truth. God spoke through Peter just like he spoke through John. John's the Greek is very, very simple. Very simple and very plain. But you have this diversity. You've got four fishermen, okay? You've got one tax collector. Who is he? Matthew Camastro? No, not Matthew Camastro. His name was Matthew. He had one tax collector, and he probably was a chief tax collector, and everybody loves the IRS when he knocks on your door, right? So everybody loves the IRS. So I had one tax collector in the group. I had one zealot. He comes by two names, or one patriot. His name is Simon. Simon the Zealot. And the word zealot means he was extremely patriotic. He was promoting the liberation of the Jewish state from from this oppressive Roman government. He was really into politics. This guy was. So this was Simon the Zealot. He was Simon the Patriot. And then there was Thomas Didymus, which means twin. Thomas the twin. Probably he was a twin of Matthew. We're not sure, but that's what it seems to indicate. Then you have James the Less. That's what's that title? Really, James the Micron, the little one. And it might be little of stature, or it might be little of age. He might have been a younger one. He might have been small of age or small of stature, but it was James the Less. So you had this divergent group that came from various backgrounds. Judas Iscariot was the only one who was from Judea. The rest of them were from Galilee. That's an interesting thing. So you've got this amalgamation, and hear me now, without Jesus Christ, every one of them would have been a loser. You got that? Without Jesus Christ, every one of them would have been a loser. But because of him, they became apostles, all except one. It's amazing how God can take the life of common people. Most of you underestimate what God can do with your lives. You really do. You think you're too ordinary and too common. And you can't think big enough that God can take something with an ordinary person and do something great with a life. And he can. He can, what's given to him. So you've got these guys. And their calling was different. Jesus showed up along the Sea of Galilee. The guys were out fishing. And I'm not clear in my mind how these events work them ways through. But he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So he called them that way. One of them, Philip, met Christ. And then Philip went and found his brother Nathanael. That's interesting. And Nathanael ended up being a disciple and an apostle. And Levi, Jesus showed up at his place of business. He showed up at the front desk at the IRS office, and he asked for the guy that was in charge. And he took Levi, took Matthew home, went to Matthew's house, and they had a celebration, and Matthew got out of the tax collecting business. Now, their personalities, wow. We read from John, and I'll read John's gospel as the elements are being given out as the deacons serve you this morning. But John is known as the apostle of what? Can you help me with that? John is known as the apostle of love. That's very interesting because in the Gospels, he's one of the two sons of thunder. Lord, shall we call down fire from heaven on them? He was a hot temperament guy. So for you with hot tempers, there's hope. The son of thunder became an apostle of love. What are we celebrating here today? We are celebrating a God that comes into our lives and revolutionizes them, totally changes them. He changes not only our personal lives, he changes our relationships. Everything goes with it. Everything goes with it. You had the zealot, you had the patriot. Peter, wow, foot in mouth Peter. And he became the spokesman for God at Pentecost. Absolutely amazing. How many of you have a foot and mouth disease? Don't tell me about that. But I do. I do. Boy, the Lord has had to discipline my tongue. Wow. And so you've got foot and mouth Peter. You've got Thomas. He's known as give me the D word. He's the doubter. Thomas is the guy that didn't have much faith. Great apostle. God used him greatly. The tradition says he went to India and evangelized. So we got some doubters in here? Sure, we've got some doubters. We do. And then you've got Judas, who was surnamed Thaddeus. What's a surname? Well, it's a kind of a nickname. Thaddeus. And what does Thaddeus mean? It means someone with a big heart and praise and gratitude. So he was a guy that was joyful and grateful, had a big heart. He was a big-hearted guy. So there's this combination of all of these people gathered around the table as the Lord is instituting this feast and this celebration. So I'm glad the Lord Jesus came into my life and that I can genuinely love everybody. Which means not emotion, but it means I can give my life to them freely and I can serve them. I can be a servant of my world and everybody in it. I can be a servant of everyone in the church. And it doesn't matter their personality. It doesn't matter their hang-ups and their foibles. It doesn't matter their trials. And it doesn't matter their struggles. It doesn't matter that. Because of this. Because Jesus bore all the weaknesses and infirmities of mankind in his body on the cross. Then I am able to participate in what he does because he is living in me. Huh? I need to let him live in me. See? So, very, very interesting. In one of the texts I'm going to read, no one has theatered God at any time. Theater means to sit and observe carefully, like you're in a theater watching a play and observing carefully the expressions on the face, observing just everything in detail that's going on, the body language, the words that are spoken, the movements that are made. Theatering, nobody has theatered God at any time, but Jesus came down to this world, and in Jesus Christ we theatered God. We were able to watch God live among men. We were able to see what God would do. And that Jesus that theaters God, are you listening? Lives in us. Huh? He lives in us. And if we walk by the Spirit, our lives can theater God. Huh? Our lives can theater God in the world in which we live. That's precious. That's precious. The patience of Christ, his flexibility, his selflessness, and ultimately his sacrifice. A willingness to give it all because we theater God, and God gives and God serves and God dies for the needs of others. And we can theater God. But we do it because of the cross. It's the work of Christ on the cross. So we celebrate this today. And if we will let the Spirit of God work in our lives, then the world can see and know what real, genuine unity is, not only in the body of Christ, but in our relationship even with unsaved people with whom we find great difficulty in getting along. Huh? We can theater God through Christ living in us. We can do that. So, what a great God. Now, you remember, we've taught you that love does two things. Number one, it. I've forgotten. Give it to me. Love does what? It gives and it serves. It becomes a slave. It serves. It gives its life. It pours its life into other people. And it becomes a servant to everyone in this world. And all of life is to be governed by love. And that means we are not getters. We are givers. Yes. Because God is a giver. So this great love of God we celebrate. And I thought, well, what kind of a hymn could we sing together? And this is kind of a hard hymn to sing because it's got high notes in it. But will you turn in your hymnals, please, to hymn number 166. Hymn number 166. Hymn number 166. The love of God. The love of God. Just, how do you explain it? How do you explain it? And the description of God's love is difficult, but it is wonderful. And we need to revel in it, relax in it, rejoice in it, and then pass it on to the world in which we live. Give us, please, just the note, Miranda. The love of God. Thank you. have that awesome privilege of abiding in His love. Whew. It's wonderful to be a child of God, to be saved, to rest in the promises of God's wonderful word. So it was that our Lord Jesus, as was gathered in that upper room with His disciples, announcing, much to their dismay, that His death was impending. And He said, "Now I want you to remember me. Don't remember me by all the things I've done and said. You remember that what I've done to make all of this possible. Remember that everything is possible through my death, burial, and resurrection. You need to focus on the foundation of this whole thing." And so we are going to do that. We're going to take the bread. We're going to take the cup. We're going to remember. We're going to focus our minds on the sacrifice, that personal decision that Christ made to give up everything in order that we might gain everything. He lost everything so that we might gain everything. And others will not gain from us unless we lose. Get that? So we celebrate that amazing, marvelous death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our Lord began by taking bread. He blessed it, He broke it, He gave it to all of His disciples. Brother Don Ma'alona, lead us please in a prayer of thanksgiving and praise for the physical, human body of Jesus Christ that was given as a sacrifice for our sins on the cross.
All right, Father, we just come and thank You, Lord, for Your great love for us, that You gave Your only begotten Son, that He sacrificed His life, sacrificed everything for our salvation. Thank You for this time, Lord. Pray that You would be in our meditation. Pray, Father, for it.
Reading various verses from John's Gospel, chapter number 17. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up His eyes to heaven, He said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You. Even as You gave Him authority over all flesh, that to all whom You have given Him, He may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I have manifested Your name to the men whom You gave me out of the world. They were Yours, You gave them to me, and they have kept Your word. I ask on their behalf, I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom You have given me, for they are Yours. And all things that are mine are Yours, and Yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to You, Holy Father. Keep them in Your name, the name which You have given me, that they may be one even as we are. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as You, Father, are in me, and I in You, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that You sent me. The glory which You have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and You in me, so that they may be perfected or completed in unity, so that the world may know that You sent me and love them, even as You have loved me. O righteous Father, although the world has not known You, yet I have known You. And these have known that You sent me, and I have made Your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which You loved me may be in them, and I in them." Thank you. This never ceases to amaze me. When Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body," we have God come in flesh, God coming to die. This is amazing. You think of all the gods in the world, none of them came to die for his people. They all came to make demands. He came to fulfill God's demands and set us free. "Take, eat, this is my body. It's given for you. Do this in order that you might remember me." And then again we read, "After the same manner also he took the cup and gave of it to his disciples." Brother Stephen Peaks, will you please lead us in a prayer of praise and thanksgiving for the blood of Jesus Christ that saves us, that brings us into one body, that brings us into an eternal union with God our Father.
Heavenly God, we do ask that you would be with everybody here. Mm-hmm. Help us, Lord, to receive your gift of salvation. Mm-hmm. Keep the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And giving more of ourselves as Christ gave for himself for our sin on the cross through his shedding of the blood.
Amen.
We ask
this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Reading from 1 John chapter 4. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God." And that word "know" means know by experience. The one who does not love has not experienced God. For God is love. "By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only," or his uniquely begotten, "Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the satisfaction for our sins. Beloved, if God so or in this manner loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has seen, no one has theatered God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected or accomplished in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses," that states agreement, "that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides or remains in God, and God abides in him. By this love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates or detests his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also." Remember now that the shedding of the blood of Jesus on the cross was the pouring out of his life in death. Amazing that God would do this for us. This cup, Jesus said, is the new covenant. It's an unbreakable commitment. It's a contract. It's an agreement between God and man that's ensured by what Jesus did on the cross. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Every time you do this, as often as you do this, remember me. Hallelujah. What a Savior. That's why we're here. No cross, no hope, no help, no forgiveness, no relationship with God. Wow. What a great God that we have. Our deacons are going to wait on us for our deacon's offering. This is the benevolence.